Welcome to Season 3 of Swiss Impact with Banerjees. I'm Sveta.
And I'm Ben.
The topic of Season 3 is Impact Investing, the New Normal. Do you also want to do something meaningful for our planet and people or invest with impact?
Then our amazing and powerful guests who are business owners, heads of financial institutions, thought leaders, political leaders, policymakers, investors, and experts.
Greetings, my name is Ash Bachori, and I'm the senior mentor of the POP or Protect Our Planet movement, and also a member of the board and secretary treasurer of the World Sustainable Development Forum. Our primary goal is to mobilize the 1.8 billion youth of the world to urgently address the issue of climate change and take action to protect our planet.
This will inspire you to get engaged.
And in this season, we will challenge them even more to take actions towards sustainable development goals, to enable paradigm shift in the financial sector and way of doing business.
Watch and learn how can we, as humans, transform into eco-financial system which would serve all people and the environment.
We aim for impact investment to become available to anyone, become truly mainstream.
See you every Friday at 3 p.m. Central European Time at Swiss Impact with Banerjees.
Act for your future.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone, and to our viewers from Far East, good night. And by the way, today is also the birthday of Guru Nanak, the founder of the Sikh religion. So happy Guru Purnima to all our Sikh friends and viewers.
Welcome back to week 11 of season 3. Before we start with the show, we want to dedicate our show of today to our dearest colleague, Andrei Bazarnov. He was our not only colleague, but partner and friend. Many of you know the platform Chamomile, the global impact investment platform. Andrei built it nearly single-handed, working through the nights and always available. Because he dreamt of the world which was fair, beautiful, where all the SDGs have been implemented. After fighting COVID for more than a week in ICU, he finally succumbed to it, leaving behind his wife Ludmila and two small children. I'm sorry.
So on his name, we commit to go on with our activities to spread awareness of SDGs and support it in every way possible for us in around the world.
And the show must go on.
I know. So our show is about impact investment. So the theme is impact investing, the new normal. To do so, we must shift capital towards true impact, where positive social and environmental impact go along with financial return. And of course, impact investing is also means shifting the funds to a force for good and a driving force to achieve SDGs.
Did you know that we have following between indigenous community in Jamaica to First Nation in Canada? Seems that we are on our way to turn the world and the finance into force for good.
So everyone who wants to keep informed and support us or wants to be our guest, please subscribe to our YouTube channel where we can reaching out the whole world and also being a voice for those who have no voice. The channel is easy. It is youtube.com/Swiss Impact. And we are also available on Smart TV and podcast.
Yes, right. And good news for those who want to learn about impact investing and create and transform into profitable business with impact in the next 4 months. From December, November is already started, right? We will conduct 3 more trainings on this topic so you can make your business idea a success. It's all published on Chamomile. Take the opportunity and learn with us. Ben, but before we invite our guest, do you want to share a story?
Yeah, like as usual. So you, or most of you all know, we just finished with the COP26. So I have a short comment, positive side and negative side. Which one should I start?
Let's start with a negative so that this time we can finish your story on a positive note.
Okay. So as mentioned earlier, it is quite certain that with the present steps and the structures we have and the planning we have, the 1.5 degree rise in temperature will not be kept. meaning that the world will feel its disastrous consequences, especially some more than the others, like the global south. Of course, I'm still hoping that somewhere in the world, a miracle will happen, which will change it. There are many reasons why the 1.5 rise in the present momentum will not be kept. One of them is the investment from the richer North to facilitate the transition to renewable energies in the poorer South. For this, you need an international and an unpolitical organization to oversee these agreements or these investments. Otherwise, I'm afraid that this money will be misused by many countries. For example, today, even Pakistan, Afghanistan, even China, which has the world's biggest cash deposit or cash rich country and also the greatest CO2 emitter, is at this moment they're all acting as victim and standing asking for funds, thus creating huge doubts into the mind of the lands which are expected to pay.
And on positive note,
I think there are three things which are very important which happened. Never before in the history has so many countries come together and accepted that we have a serious problem with climate change. Number two, the agreements at COP26 have fine-tuned the ambitions of the Paris Agreement of 2015. Then it was spoken that we have to keep the warming lower than 2 degrees and aim for 1.5 degrees centigrade. Mm. Now it seems that all countries agree that we have to keep the warming limited to 1.5 degrees centigrade, and thus we need new CO2 reduction plans by 2022. And there will be annual meetings to discuss the plan. And the third, which is very important, is it's in the first time 200 countries confirmed that the coal power stations will have to be closed down in certain period of time, and subsidy of oil and gas has to be phased out. The best is what Frans Timmermans, also from my country, Netherlands, of course, said in 6 months ago. He said that six months ago, no one had even dreamt that in Glasgow, 197 countries will mention unanimously to reduce coal, oil, and gas. Thus, we all look now towards the COP27 in Egypt next year.
Yeah, let's see what will change next year. But today, we meet the founders of two amazing organizations, which, in our opinion, are extremely impactful. And they are the ladies, the two ladies who we are going to interview today. They are living examples of following their dreams of impactful business, which we also teach. One of them is Karin, who offers services, and the other one is Francisca, who is offering amazing products, which you can find in sportswear industry. A short introduction to Karin. So let's first invite the guests in the studio. Where are they? Karin, Francisca, please join us.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
So, Karin, I'd like to briefly introduce you. You are the co-founder and president, as well as CEO of the Sanhart Business Leaders Association. And you are also a management consultant of your own company, Business Art Consultant. Okay, and Francisca, you are the founder and CEO of Tripools, a new Swedish sustainable activewear brand with a mission to create natural performance apparel that is free from harmful plastic, toxins, and ethically produced. Your passion for sport, sustainability, and health also is a driver to make a positive impact in the world. This is what made you start Tripools in 2019. So welcome, ladies. We will talk more about you.
I'll start. Go ahead. So because we want to make it, I start with Francisca. So Francisca, you seem very eclectic. So you are German. You were an exceptional student in a metropolitan city like Frankfurt in Germany, worked there, and moved to a tiny town in middle of nowhere in Sweden. Even more, you gave up a steady job, an ambitious job, as management consultant at multinationals like Accenture, IBM, to a very uncertain and very competitive world of sportswear entrepreneur. What happened? What went wrong? please introduce yourself and tell us your motivation to make this huge leap.
How could she ever do that? Thank you so much for the introduction. And first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. And for everybody listening, I'm really, really excited and grateful to be here. Ben, that's a really great question. What made me do it, given where I come from, what I did? But I think it's exactly that made me actually start Tripulse. Svetlana already said, I've always been very, very close to sports and to nature. Sports was always a really important part of my life to overcome any challenges I had in life. And then always I wanted to be very close to nature. That's also the reason why I ended up in Sweden. There is definitely still a very big abundance of nature. And then, like you said, I worked in a lot of corporations, management consulting, tech, and so forth. But the more I worked there, the more I felt that I don't really see an impact I can really do. And I don't work on the things that so urgently need work on, like climate change and all the things you're pointing out from the COP now. And I came to a point where I thought, okay, I need to take time off to really figure out what I want to do. So just before COVID hit, I went to Asia. I was there for a couple of months and to really do some soul searching. And that's where a lot of ideas and things fell into place. A lot of things became very clear to me that I want to create my own business. I want to create an impact in the world that will help tackle the problem of climate change and to come up with a real solution. And then I just took my passions of sports and sustainability and health together and just looked at myself, a problem I always had but never really tackled actually, which is the very clothes I always wear day in and day out for sports but also just normal. And I started doing research about these materials, and then one thing fell to the other. I found out that a lot of sportswear today is made from synthetics, which comes from crude oil mostly, which is a tremendous impact on the environment in terms of the raw material, the oil, the microplastic spilling when we wash it many times, on the health because it often contains harmful substances that can be absorbed by our skin, can cause allergies and other effects. But then also the other issues I did not like with the textile and fashion industry in general was the lack of transparency, not safe labor conditions that many times happened there. And so I looked for alternatives while I was still in Asia. I was Googling, is there any alternative to that? Where can I shop that? But I couldn't find any. The best I could find would be recycled plastic, which is still oil, still has the same problems in a way. And so that became my mission. So on that day, I decided, Franziska, you no longer complain, but I will be part of the solution and create it. And without knowing if there would be a material I could use, I was just very, very determined to find it. And I found it, and the rest is history. Then I found the Tripulse, and now the clothes are out.
Thanks, Franziska. Thanks. Let's talk about Karin, about you. You're quite different, right? You're Swiss. You're from the mountainside and have always been an entrepreneur and now leading this amazing organization called Sanhart Business Leaders. Can you tell us more a bit about the background, how you founded it, and what's its offering?
I worked during the first 11 years of my professional life at the bank, at the Swiss bank, like you see in the background of you, both of you. And I asked myself after these 11 years whether this is really the place I want to spend the rest of my professional life.
And it's a nice place, by the way. Well,
it is a nice place. And I just asked myself, is it all about money and in life? And at the same time, when I was 18, I began to study privately different philosophers, different religions, cultures, because I was interested, what is the sense of life and why are we here and who am I and these questions. And it was interesting that I found out that in the really important questions, there is no contradiction. They all tried to tell the same to their people at their times. And I just asked myself, well, when there are something like principles of life or laws of nature, then we should probably live in accord with them. And if you run a company, then you should run it in accord with these natural laws, or in harmony with nature, as I like to say. And that's when I decided to become self-employed. And I was 27 and tried to be a consultant for companies and tell them how they can run a business in accord with nature, which is based automatically on ethics and sustainability. And some of them laughed at me and some of them said, well, could be. But I think it took 2 decades or more until I was
quite early with this concept.
Yes. Yes. And since then I do that. And so I, 4 years ago, I met another entrepreneur and he had was like-minded, I would say. And we said, well, we can't be the only entrepreneurs who think like that and want to bring more ethics and sustainability in the economy. And so we just started with a network and wanted to collect these entrepreneurs to build a force for good. When I listened to you, Franziska, I just thought, why are you not in our network?
And I just think, why have not I joined yet?
Exactly.
Yeah, because Franziska is living in middle of nowhere. In a they have 10
very
people
close
living
to nature.
In that. So, Franziska, can you please introduce Tripulse to our audience? And what kind of products do you have?
Absolutely. So Tripulse is a sustainable activewear brand with a mission to free the clothes from fossil fuel or harmful plastic.
What is activewear?
Activewear,
yeah,
that's a good
question. Everyone buys from the internet.
Yes. So activewear is everything like sportswear, you could say. It's clothing that you use when you want to get physically active. But that can be everything from hiking to yoga to running ultramarathons. So exactly everything where you maybe get where you need to move and move your body more and perhaps sweat more, and where performance of the material is actually quite important compared to regular clothing. So there is definitely a performance element in that as well. And what I said in the beginning is that having done sports my whole life, there is, and you guys probably notice as well, if you look at the label of your clothes, that almost all sportswear is made from synthetics and the origin of that is usually crude oil. And so what Tripulse wants to achieve, our mission is to change the way we are working out, change the way the clothes are made out of we're working out. And that means free from this harmful plastic, which is crude oil, free from any toxins, because oftentimes there is a lot of toxins in actually synthetic activewear. And then also clothing that is ethically made. That's a very, very important part as well. And of course, given that it's activewear, it's extremely important that, of course, the function, the performance is also really good, because otherwise, of course, nobody would wear that for sports. And so that's a very high ambition, a very, I would say, a challenge, because if you go anywhere, you see polyester still, you see recycled versions of that, which is already better, but it's definitely not the end goal, because you're still using the raw material, which is oil, and even making recycled polyester, you need to, it requires a lot of energy as well. And then you have the microplastic problem that goes into the ecosystem and does not decompose for many, many, many years.
Yep.
And you know about it, they say by 2050, there will be more plastic than fish in the ocean. Yep. Also another interesting statistics, but just using your washing machine once with synthetic clothing will really release at least 500,000 of these microplastics. And it's just one washing machine. And so think about people that work out, they usually wash their clothes almost every day because polyester also smells really quickly. So that's a huge amount of microplastic that goes into the water every time. And so these are the issues I want to tackle with Tripulse. And now comes the solution in play. So we create products that are made from renewable nature-based materials. So for our first collection, we use Tencel, which is a really beautiful material coming from certified wood forests. So it's made from especially spruce, birch, and eucalyptus trees. And what's important to say here is that they come from certified forests. So they're FSC certified. They come never from endangered rainforest and something like that. And what's also really beautiful is they don't require pesticides or water if you compare, for example, to cotton. And so if I just add on that, so we use Tencel, and then the origin is very good. There is no oil in there. And then the production process, which is also heavy, heavy impact, negative impact, usually in the fashion industry when make material, the fabric is...
We are learning too much now.
Getting okay, sorry. Yes, I get too passionate about that. So
yeah, that's visible.
But thanks a lot for sharing. We learned a lot. We learned a lot on the chemical side of our sportswear. Very important to know.
That's why I tell you, don't wash clothes that often. We wash clothes too often. That's the problem.
And so, I mean, just to add on that, it is because it smells very quickly. So in Tencel case, it doesn't smell. That's why you don't even have to wash it that often. So that's really nice.
Mm. All right. Let's check that out. Order some sportswear from Franziska and do a lot of physical activity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, get moving.
Yeah, but the thing with yoga is that you don't sweat too much with yoga.
That's
depends
true
on
also.
The type of yoga you're making, but let's not guess.
Not the hot yoga, there's different.
So, and Karen, so what is your, what are your core values or what you mentioned before? You mentioned the motivation why you went into the business. So what are the core values which you and your members of Sunheart share and identify with?
Yeah, when we founded Sunhearts, we knew that we need to have an ethical foundation, I would say. And so we defined five values. I don't know whether you can show the slide, possibly.
Yeah, I think it should be possible.
Yeah. Anyway, everything starts in the consciousness and with the values that people have. And we said, okay, when we define certain values, and people can say, I am equal. I also want to run my business with these values. Then we know that we can collect the right people together because ethic is a natural follow-up. And so humanity is the first of our values. We love life. We wanted to have that in and promote the good. The common good is more important for us than profit. And that does not mean that profit is not important. It is for companies, but it is not the first focus. The first focus should be to do a good impact in the world. And then the profit comes from alone. Then we have sustainability, of course. We think of future generation, appreciation for all life, for human beings, animals, nature. We strive not to harm any part of life. And honesty is another one. I think our world would look much better if every entrepreneur would really tell the truth and be honest. And of course, that goes for the politicians and everybody else also. But think about it, it's really true. And the last one I like very much, it's serenity. We think that what we are doing, all these entrepreneurs, these passion entrepreneurs like you, Franziska, I love that. It is very important for the world, but we ourselves don't have to take us so seriously. It's not so much about me, and this whole thing with egocentrical behavior. It is much more about what can we together do for the whole and for the good of planet Earth. And then I think we have a good foundation for solving the problems we have created for all life.
Thank you very much, because this is very, very clear. So
and the slides are coming.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I explained it.
Yeah, exactly. Your slides are somewhere lost in the transmission, I think.
No problem.
So, and Francisca, I assume you also have certain values. I mean, you mentioned that about plastic, but do you also have values like Karin was mentioning?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting, Karin, another overlap here. So I found a tripod actually on three core values that are actually in the name tripod. So the tri stands for three. And pulse is like the energy flow of life, like the heartbeat or pulse. And so the three core values are number one is sustainability. That is from everything from start to finish, looking at the entire supply chain, but also includes the social component, the ethical side. So that's always in everything we do. We always, always think about that. The second part is fitness and health. So we're an activewear company. What I'm very passionate about is to inspire people to move. We've seen that now in the pandemic, a lot of people just sit and feel really bad emotionally, mentally. So it's about promoting, inspiring people for physical and mental health, actually, because they're very intertwined. And then the last part is about community. So we know, like you also say, Karin, it's so much we are aware that we can never do this alone. We need to collaborate and we need to just share, include everybody in that. And, you know, we want everybody to be included in what we do and get them excited about it and don't exclude anybody. And yeah, so these are the three core values of Tripulse.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amazing, ladies. I'd like to jump to activities concretely. What you do, especially you, Karin, you have the association, and what are the members into in your organization? What are the activities? What do you do with the members?
Okay, what we do is we build the network and we try to bring these entrepreneurs together with a community of people who like to live a lifestyle of health and sustainability. And this is an own consumer group, we call them LOHAS. And when we bring them together, they can gain possibly long-term or lifelong consumers. And this is one main part. We also have built a pool of experts who are willing to share their expertise and their knowledge with the Sunart business leaders. And this is important because we focus totally on strengthening them, to give them all that they need so that they can grow and build jobs, so that the good in the economy can improve. And a third part is that apart from different networking opportunities and events that we make, that we have opened now a Sunhart Academy, and in which we offer certain workshops, seminars, and plan to make an education in what we call leadership of the future, business in harmony with nature, and based on ethics and sustainability. I think we could have a big impact when the young people can be taught how the economy and futures can look like.
Yeah, exactly.
Education. We love education with Ben, of course. There can't be enough of education at the moment. So yes, that's great that you're also into that, building more of ethical entrepreneurs and in sustainable sector. Francesca, can you explain us briefly end-to-end cycle of your products?
Oh, gosh, are you sure? Okay. The good news is that I already started with that. So when I answered the question before, the end-to-end life cycle, just to recap perhaps. So our products are, the main ingredient is Tencel. So that's the main ingredient of our product. So I keep it to that for simple reasons. So the end-to-end starts with the sourcing the raw materials. Like I said, Tencel comes from wood sources, from certified forests, which is obviously a renewable material. which is, yeah, doesn't require pesticides or water to grow. The next stage is the production stage, where the wood pulp goes into the fiber, which is usually very high impact energy and chemical emitting process, even for bamboo, for example. A lot of it requires a lot of toxins. But in the case of Tencel, you only need water and a non-toxic solvent to break down the wood into the fiber. And it's in a circular process. So 99.9% of these inputs, they never go to waste. So it's being reused and reused. So we save a huge amount of water and no toxins are being used there. And then the third stage is the consumption, the usage of the fabric or the material or products, which first of all, it's very durable if it's cared for in the right way, of course. It is, when we wash it, like I mentioned before, activewear used to be washed very often. So first of all, you don't have to wash it so often because it doesn't smell easily. It takes a long time and because bacteria doesn't grow. No microplastics are being released into the waters. And then the end of life, you could recycle it or you could even compost it in the right conditions in your garden because it does biodegrade, degrade or compost. And it wouldn't leave any harmful toxins in the ecosystem. And again, that's a huge differentiator to all the synthetics that are crude oil based. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's the end-to-end in a short...
That was fantastic.
I just wanted to add something. So when you do the end-to-end calculation, do you also pay attention to the externalities, like usage of water, usage of energy?
Right. So I don't have it exactly the measurement or the numbers now for our range. You could only give estimates. And I mean, of course, particularly the production that still requires energy to break it down to make it. When it comes to Tencel, they mainly use renewable energy to do that, which is also really nice.
That's very good.
So yeah, exactly. That's really good. Exactly. So it's almost everything is used renewable energy. And then the water, like I said, it will be reused over and over again. I cannot tell you how much water is needed, but it doesn't go to waste. It doesn't go into the environment.
But if it is reused, yeah, exactly. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. And Karin, so what is the, you have an organization where you're working with a lot of members. What is the way, the earning model of your organization? So how is Sanhat making money or earning money from this?
Yeah, mainly we get the membership fees. That's one part. And sometimes we get a little donations. That's also possible. And we have a system of gift bags that when companies realize how much they win being a member of the Sanhearts, and maybe they have won a lot of clients or an employee or even knowledge, which is important for them to improve the business, then it is totally voluntary, possible to let something flow back into the network. This is also something. And then we have the attendance fees within the Sanhart Academy.
Perfect.
Okay. Do you plan to retain this model for the moment, or how do you see it in the future?
I think that's a good foundation for the future too, because we will expand and it on all these different vessels. I would say there will flow in more and more.
Yeah,
sounds great.
I mean, you already have, I thought, doubled your number of members in the last 1 year or something. So you are.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
So, Karin, Francesca, you soon can also attend. Although,
yes.
Karin just wants to keep it limited to Switzerland.
Yeah, no. We have already in three different countries, European
expand,
countries, members.
Right.
Yes. But one in Denmark, too.
No, it sounds extremely interesting and relevant for me, I must say.
And you would be, by the way, you would be our 50th member.
Oh, wow.
That's definitely must join.
Yes.
from Sweden, from really middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's not
really
only she's living in
pre
Sweden, but she's living
in
really
also.
In middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I would love that, you know, because I'm a really old ABBA fan, and Sweden is for me.
Oh, me too.
Yes.
Me too.
You
too.
And
me too.
Back. ABBA is back.
Yeah, exactly.
We should join a concert. Yeah.
Okay. This meeting is interview is going completely off track. So, Francesca, can you share some of your customer expectations and comments who have already tried your product? Because your product is already available to the public, to the consumer.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very, very happy that we already received a good amount of very good feedback to our products. We only launched now in April this year, so very early days. But what makes me extremely happy is just reading through the reviews we got on our website. And we have really people from ultra marathon runners to boxing people to just gym lovers or yogis, a lot of them as well. And comments that really make me very happy and just confirm basically the mission is that saying things like, oh, I didn't know it's such an eye opener. I didn't know that natural fabric can feel so much nicer than synthetic based activewear. And they don't go out of their clothes anymore, even after the workout, because they don't feel like wrapped in a plastic bag anymore. And their skin can breathe. And another thing that also makes me happy, we have a few customers who actually get really bad skin rashes when they work out in synthetics. They cannot, some of them had to stop training because of that, because they didn't have alternatives. So they use now our products and they don't have these issues anymore. So this makes me also really happy that we can cater for these people.
Awesome.
That's cool. But I read on your website that you are extremely discriminatory. You are only making products for women. What about us?
Did I not talk about the community side and everybody? Yes. So I have not forgotten about the men. Absolutely not. And they will come for sure. So now was just the very first collection for women. And we will extend the range for women. But at the same time, the plan is also to start with a small range for men. Because, I mean, ultimately, I want everybody to wear U-Bend too, these clothes and have the option to switch. Yeah.
And Karen, how do you manage the marketing of your services?
Well, at the moment, we have a lot mouth-to-mouth. We have open events for all interested people. And that works because after every event, we have new members. Sometimes we get well directed in touch with certain companies because we would like to have them on board, like you, Francisco. We write blog articles and newsletters, and via LinkedIn, for example, we share success stories of our members. And what we would love to do in future is to produce an image video and maybe also to use it for crowdfunding as a marketing tool so that we can expand the Sunheart community, as we call it, this community of customers who like to buy their products in these companies. And we also intend to build a platform in future where the Sunheart business leaders can advertise their products and services, and the community can see what they offer and how different they do business. And marketing and probably more direct marketing and social marketing in future. We don't hear you, Ben, because you have...
Just a sec. No, I was just thinking that regarding Francesca, so how do you manage your marketing? Because for you, marketing also must be extremely important. And how do you do it? And are you working in the same way as a community building as Apple does, using social media to build up a community?
Right. Yeah. So that's really, really important. Obviously, we're a consumer-facing brand. And so marketing and raising awareness is really, really important. Otherwise, if nobody knows about us, then, you know, everything goes to waste. And also what I must say here, we're a young startup with very limited resources in terms of, you know, financial and also team-wise. So you have to really think outside the box to how you can tackle this marketing. And so what I did, and even before Tripulse was officially launched, I started creating content just around the idea of Tripulse. So I started an Instagram channel, and I started creating just a simple website where I would write blog posts about the topic, educating people, slowly building an audience and getting people excited for it. And I also wanted to, and that answers now a little bit both of your questions, Ben. This also means community building, which is kind of marketing and vice versa. So by doing this, I created a relationship to these people who got really excited about the mission and about the products that were supposed to be launched. And then when the time I did the Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign last year, with the main goal was to get sufficient funding from people so that I could finance my first production. But the wonderful side effect of the Kickstarter is also that it's a great marketing platform. Yeah, so you get exactly. A lot of eyeballs from the whole world and people share it. You have collaborations with other organizations. So that was extremely, extremely valuable. So, but also before I started the Kickstarter, I already build the audience so that when the Kickstarter started, because I had only 1 month to get the funding to hit the goal, I had enough people also to market to, and we successfully completed this Kickstarter campaign in the middle of COVID. So that was really a success. But then I also realized how much good connections, customers, and eyeballs we received through that.
Yep.
And now that we launched our website now officially in spring this year. So we continue now with social media, particularly Instagram. A small thing, we have a customer base. It's not huge yet, but luckily we have a good word of mouth, and also our customer recommend to their friends. We do a little bit of advertising as well on social media, a little bit on Google. And then also we were out in the media as well. So we got PR coverage, which is free marketing when, you know, the media loves our idea and the mission we want to achieve. And so we got coverage in Sweden, in Germany, which is really great. And it's a great way to get eyeballs in marketing, particularly when you're still a small startup with limited means.
And did also, Svetlana just disappeared because she has a very bad case of cold, but she will be back. Mm-hmm. So did you convert a lot of your, what's it called? Because you use Kickstarter, where you use a lot of people who did crowdfunding. Did these people also convert to a customer that they also bought products from you?
Yeah. So that's actually the whole concept of Kickstarter. So the idea is that people actually give their money, their funding beforehand. So they give me the money so that I can finance the production. And then once I've got the product produced, I will ship them. So through Kickstarter, I already had a customer base. And which is even more wonderful, though, that already some of these Kickstarter customers, they were coming back. So they bought more products once they have them. So I already had recurring customers, which is extremely nice. And I still have very good contact to a lot of them. I feel they are part of the extended Tripulse team. I see the them community. Really as part of the community. Yeah. So that's a strong aspect of community building. And then we started having programs like ambassadors. We collaborate with certain people that are active in sports and very close to nature who would try our clothes and talk about it. So different ways to build community and at the same time marketing.
And now we go to the third phase. That's the investment opportunity, because both of you have amazing opportunity for investors. So first of all, Karin, where does your organization stand now? And can you tell us more about your status?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have now 49 members, maybe at the end of our show, 50 members in three different countries, as I said. We have this pool of experts ready to support Sonar business leaders. We have since 3 months, and I'm really proud of that, are we supported by the Swiss Confederation. They recognized us as a support to achieve the sustainable goals of Switzerland by 2030. And that's quite something. And we have now the Sonhard Academy with the possibility to start next year with educations for young people, young leaders. And that's the situation we are now in.
Okay.
And how much money you intend to raise if you want to fundraise?
Yes, we would love to, because what I intend is to build a company alongside to the network, to run the network, to provide all the services for it, to run the academy, and at the same time to be something like a forge for young entrepreneurs, so that they can come and work within the company, learn the business in practice, not only theoretically, and make this experience also that doing something good for the world and having profit at the same time, that's normal, the new normal of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I would love to build such a company. And you asked me about the amount. According to the business plan, during the next 4 years, 1 million Swiss francs. Okay. And we can scale that so that we are able to build more trainee places.
Yeah. Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, and that's also on the education focus. Yeah. And Francesca, you are already operational and you're already selling products. Mm-hmm. So can you emphasize more on that? How do you also need to grow, and how much are you planning to grow?
Right. So yes, we are already out there. We are operational and selling products. The first collection for women is out. And we have, like I mentioned before, we have an existing customer base, which is really amazing. And now we're in a stage that we've basically run through this whole process, creating the products, acquiring customers, having recurring customers. Our focus is, even though we have customers all over the world, we are still focusing, let's say, on marketing activities and so on the Nordics and Central Europe. The idea for Tripuls is to expand from a market perspective more to Europe in general, later on to USA and also Asia, such as Japan. We want to grow our product range for women's, and then to cater Ben and and others, the men as well. And of course, to grow the team. So in order to do all that and to bring our mission to life, we need horsepower, we need people, and also external financial support. And so definitely I'm exploring and very open for partnerships, investment, giving, I think, an excellent opportunity in a very, very future-proof market. And
I mean, both of you are in an amazing sector and you are growing. I mean, the whole world is out open for you, and I don't know anybody who still is competing with you. So
Wait. How much do you need to grow, Francesca? Oh, yeah.
That's an ex-banker speaking.
Right. So, I mean, depends, of course, on which year range we're talking about. But in order to achieve our next few years plans, we would need, at least between 2 and 3 million euro.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, it's also very reasonable, especially with such amazing product, which we will try soon.
Yeah.
No, you can't say we will try. You have to say I will try.
No, you can try my activewear. Why not?
Oh, yeah. We actually, believe it or not, we have also already a male customer who was too excited to try it and just because his wife had the had already the clothes and she left, so it's see, already happening.
No, it's I have the same ideas all the time. So,
and Karen, so if investor comes, so what kind of commercial opportunity are you offering, or what kind of funding are you seeking? Is it like a investment? Is it like a philanthropic? Is it like loan? What kind of, and what is the return? So what are you offering to the investor?
Well, we are open as an association anyway to philanthropical support. But for the company I mentioned, I would love to have impact investment. And what is most important for us is that we find the right impact investor. It has to be somebody with the same passion to do something good for the world, with the same basis of values, and who really fits our energies. And I think the commercial opportunity is something that follows what we are doing right now. It's not the first focus, but we want to prove that with this company, we anyway need companies in future that do something good first, and then they make a lot of profit, or a solid profit, I would say. It doesn't have to be always extreme. But I think, I really believe in the model, and I think we will have profit at least in the next after 4 years about.
Okay.
Karen, you are so right. To find the right investor is the key. Yesterday, I was teaching at the university, and one of the students, she said, well, we have some potential investor, but I don't like him. Should I still accept the money? I said, well, think twice. You know, investor can make your life miserable or make your dreams come true, right?
Yes.
A lot of irritation and discussions can be saved if you find the right investor who has the same value, mission, and so on. It's like a long-term marriage. So it's very important to find the right investor.
Exactly. And Karen, so in your case, you're not only seeking investment, but also support with business development, or you're also seeking partners to penetrate new markets. Am I?
It would be great to have somebody who opens the door for new markets, or just to expand the network. If there is somebody who helps us to develop this company, then it is heaven on earth, I would say, if everything matches. But it can also be a silent investor. We are open for both, because we have a lot of expertise and knowledge already in the network, so that we could build up this company. I think so.
Okay, and Francesca, same question for you. Are you also seeking business development support with it, or partners to penetrate new markets?
Or men, models to present your sportswear.
Absolutely, always open for that. Yeah, so definitely. So both from the financial side, but also for a partner or somebody who could help open doors. As I said, we're looking also then in the midterm to expand to other markets, other continents. So distribution will be very important, even with B2B opportunities. So absolutely somebody who could, you know, facilitate that would be always very, very much highly appreciated. And generally, I can only basically repeat what also Karen said, the same holds for me. I'm interested in impact investment, investor, but what I think is really, really important is the right match. So somebody who gets equally excited about changing the active wear industry for the better, and, you know, while being able to also financially help support that, and having the mission really in the core. I think that would be really important for me and for the success of Tripals.
And so, but Francesca, how scalable is your business? Because you are speaking in Sweden, it's fine. But if suddenly you are speaking to big countries like India or Japan or Eve, then you have do you have the capacity to scale up?
Right. So, I mean, this we don't plan to go there immediately. So we take it step by step, the markets. And this is, of course, something we need to consider. My dream is to see the whole world, you know, not having to wear these crude oil-based fabrics anymore, to offer everyone that. But I also know we need to take it step by step. And we have to also go with the new innovations to see. Tencel is one amazing material. I think it's the best I can think of that's on the market right now. But I think we will also have to look into what other materials can be created, or can be, perhaps we could recycle Tencel more, so it also becomes more, that we can also look into to developing the material so it can cage a lot of people. So I think this needs to be very carefully thought through, but I think this is something we need to plan carefully, but is part of the plan for Tripulse to make it scalable, because the impact should really be not only in one little country, but globally. To really create this impact.
And the time is coming to say, last question to Karin, you, who in your opinion is your greatest competitor?
Is there any at all?
When we analyzed
in Switzerland, there is no competitor, just some farmers.
When we analyzed the market, we found out that there are some networks who have a focus on sustainability, and that's great. We see them as supporters to achieve our vision, but we are different with this ethical foundation, because everything is value based. Everything that we do. And we are different because of the education that we offer soon. And so I think we are quite smart. And
Perfect. Yeah. And Franziska, your biggest competitor, aren't you worried that one of these big guys, the big producers, will steal your idea or something?
I mean, in a way, I would be happy, but because I also know I cannot do this alone. So I think it's a good sign if more will follow suit. I always like to think in terms of, you know, just creating the best possible product and focusing on the impact. And I think there are enough people in the world to serve, and it's just good if more will follow suit. So I'm a very strong believer in that. But I also know that, of course, I'm aware of very, very big brands having much more capacity. And so, but at the same time, they're built on a very different business model. And they're often built on fast fashion and very intransparent, long supply chain. So the agility is not there that, for example, we have. And the values are very different than our values, which I think also authenticity is very important also for end customers. Yeah. So I think I'm not worried. I'm just very excited to create that product and have more people everywhere in the world wearing it.
Yeah.
Ladies, yeah, you wanted to say
something? No, I just wanted to say that the whole world is your audience now. People are watching from Canada to Japan. So what would be your call to action? So Karin, go ahead.
Karin, you want to start?
Yeah. Okay. Let me start with a quote of Einstein. He said once, we cannot solve the problems with the same methods that we created them. And I would add to that, we cannot save the problems or achieve any SDGs in a high quality if we do not change the consciousness. So we need a shift from this egocentrical behavior into this thinking of what can I do for the whole and for this beautiful planet. We live on a most beautiful planet, and I call her Mother Earth. And so I just think it comes down to love. And we should ask ourselves, do I really love this planet Earth so much that I'm willing to give of my life's energy to heal her, to restore her, and to do something good for my fellow men and fellow beings around me, because we are one big organism. It comes down to love. And if somebody can answer this question with yes, then I would love to welcome them in the Sunheart Business Leaders, because we are really building a great force for the good.
Wow. This such was amazing. Now Francesca has to.
Oh, this is hard. No, it's not about the competition here.
All call to actions are needed. All call to actions.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, I would just say, from my own experience, having always complained and thought about what can I do, but have not taken action, which can make one really paralyzed or depressed. And so what I would encourage everybody is help create and support the change you wish to see in the world. Mm-hmm. So future generations have a beautiful planet to live on. So that's what I would say. And to everybody who is interested in tackling the challenges that come with the activewear industry and how we can, through the products, through finding better ways to make it and to consume them, who's interested to support, please reach out to me. So that would be my call to action.
Thank you, Francesca. Amazing. Awesome. And the time running out. So we are at the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us today, Karin, Francesca. We are looking forward to meet you both in person soon and wish you lots of success.
We will be meeting them in Geneva.
I know. This is what I'm saying.
Great. Thank you so much for the invitation and for all that you do to make this world a better place. It's amazing, really. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karin.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for everything.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
This was amazing. So
ladies, finally we have more ladies. We need more ladies, you know.
Exactly. Yes. But in the impact sector is very much dominated by ladies. Mm-hmm. So with this, we enter the 11th episode of season 3. And if you like our show, please don't forget to subscribe on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/SwissImpact. Next week, we are going to stay in Switzerland. So we are going to see how impact investment can support another global problem. And that is plastic
waste.
One
of my favorites.
Yeah. And John Duncan, he's leading within the worldwide firm, WWF, No Plastic in Nature Initiative. So he will be talking to us about how impact investment can support in fighting plastic waste.
And yeah, for everyone, keep watching Chamomile for any updates. And thanks for watching us today. Be active, act for your future.
Bye for now.
Welcome to season 3 of Swiss Impact with Banerjees. I'm Sveta.
And I'm Ben.
The topic of season 3 is Impact Investing, the New Normal. Do you also want to do something meaningful for our planet and people, or invest with impact?
Then our amazing and powerful guests, who are business owners, heads of financial institutions, thought leaders, political leaders, policymakers, investors, and experts.
Greetings, my name is Ash Bachori, and I'm the senior mentor of the POP, or Protect Our Planet movement, and also a member of the board and secretary treasurer of the World Sustainable Development Forum. Our primary goal is to mobilize the 1.8 billion youth of the world to urgently address the issue of climate change and take action to protect our planet.
This will inspire you to get engaged.
And in this season, we will challenge them even more to take actions towards sustainable development goals, to enable paradigm shift in the financial sector and way of doing business.
Watch and learn how can we, as humans, transform into eco-financial system which would serve all people and the environment.
We aim for impact investment to become available to anyone, become truly mainstream.
See you every Friday at 3 p.m. Central European Time at Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Act for your future.